Good afternoon. We're all awake, right? Good afternoon. We're excited to have you here as a part of this celebration of the Historical Society. And so on behalf of Lebanon Mennonite Church, welcome to the sanctuary here, a place dedicated to worshiping God. And so we're excited that even though you represent many different church families, we're excited to be brothers and sisters of faith here learning about God's people today. And so in people who study genealogies and that kind of stuff, I was thinking about what to say, and so I went to the book of Proverbs, and to like to read to you the first nine verses of Proverbs, thinking about what the wisest man in the Bible would say. And you have to admire the man. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, so he had to have a lot of knowledge, just a matter of dealing with them, right? This actually comes from Eugene Peterson's interpretation of the Message, and so it's a little, if you're following along like in the King James or New International, it's going to have a little different verbiage. So, the wise sayings of Solomon. These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so you'll know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going, a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair, to teach the inexperienced the ropes, and to give our young people a grasp on reality. There's something here also for seasoned men and women. Still a thing or two for the experienced to learn, fresh wisdom to probe and to penetrate, the rhythms and the reasons of wise men and wise women. Start with God. The first step in learning is bowing down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. Pay close attention, my friend, to what your father tells you, and never forget what you have learned at your mother's knee. Wear their counsel like flowers in your hair, like rings on your fingers. I firmly believe that we both need to learn from the past, both the failures and the triumphs, and so I'm excited for your meeting here today. I would also tell you that I have a sick wife who's at urgent care right now and a sick granddaughter, so immediately after this, I'm going to be leaving you, but I pray that we'll go on with you, so let's pray. Lord, thank you for inviting us to be a part of your family and inviting us to be your sons and your daughters at this time, and so bless us as we look at the history of your faithfulness to us as a people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brent, for those words and for the prayer. I want to take this opportunity to welcome each one of you to our celebration of the founding of Oregon Mennonite Festival for World Relief. We are celebrating 30 years of your faithfulness to the overseas work of MCC. I went round and round and round with this 30 number, trying to figure out how I could justify it, because I really think it's 31. But I think we're in the neighborhood, let's say it that way. gathering of funds for MCC through relief sales has a long and rich history. In 1966, just before Marge and I were married, shortly after moving to Akron, Pennsylvania to begin my 1W service, I attended the MCC relief sale in Morgantown, Pennsylvania. And I was overwhelmed and impressed, particularly since that was really the first time I had seen, you know, farm boy from Kansas seeing Amish. And there were significant numbers of Amish there, and I was in awe. I believe that this was the first of the Mennonite relief sales in the United States and Canada. Someone can call it different, but they began in 1957, and now they bring in about $500,000 in one day at the Pennsylvania State Fairgrounds. Little did I know that the movement would grow, and I would be privileged to participate in the work of MCC Oregon Fall Festival, now known as the Oregon Festival, Mennonite Festival for World Relief. Marge and I decided that was an awful long name. We should shorten it. But So today we're going to hear from Bill Braun, one of those who was the first or one of the founders of the Fall Festival. And we're going to see some pictures that Don Bacher has put together and some that Bill has brought with him. And then we're going to hear briefly from some of the people who have given many long hours to the work of Fall Festival and the Festival of World Relief. And so without further ado, let's take our hymn books. Let's stand and take the hymn book and turn to hymn number 102, and let's sing the three verses of To God Be the Glory.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender at only believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. Great things he hath taught us, great things he hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. That higher and higher and greater will be our travel, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
You may be seated. I am happy to introduce to you Bill Braun. Bill knows this, so I'm going to share it. Actually, Bill wasn't our first choice. Correct, Bill? No. I had asked Bob Buxman, the MCC representative in our area, to give the main address, and after checking with his calendar, he realized that he would be speaking at the Idaho sale today. Actually, it was yesterday. And so he and Barb are in Idaho for the sale. It also comes to mind that the Kansas MCC relief sale was this weekend also. My niece posted a picture on Facebook of the quilt she bought. And Marge and I were reading, Marge, how many Varenica did they make?
2,000.
No, it was 20. 20, they made 20,000 Varenica to eat. Now, can you imagine 20,000, you know what a venenica is. It's a dumpling, looks like a pierogi. but they made 20,000 for the Mennonites to eat in Kansas. So they will raise approximately $500,000 in this weekend. Bill is a native of Oregon, grew up in Dallas, Oregon, and I met him many, I'm not sure when I first met Bill, but he and I have crossed paths many times. He has served, he and his wife and family served in Harlan, Kentucky for a number of years with MCC Voluntary Service. Bill has been on the board of directors of MCC West Coast. He has been pastor, now retired, of the College Community Mennonite Brethren Church in Fresno, Clovis. Now lives in Fresno, and I want to welcome Bill, and you tell us all about the beginnings of the Fall Festival.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate that. I don't know if you remember, I made a few repairs on your house after you left Fresno and you were here already. Yeah, so.
We never did pay before, did we?
Well, I think we can take care of that. So, anyway, yeah, that's not gone yet. Thank you for the invitation to visit with you this afternoon. We, meaning my wife, Joyce, and our daughter Margaret, and I left Dallas, Oregon in July 1985, which we were just reflecting today. We're pushing 30 years pretty hard here, for a two-year term of service with MCC in Harlan, Kentucky. That sojourn of 2 years turned into three, after which we moved to Fresno, California, so I could attend the seminary, the MB Seminary in Fresno. That sojourn of 3 years turned into four, and then it actually turned into 27. After seminary, I served on the pastoral team, as Jerry mentioned, at College Community Church in Clovis for 22 years. And during that time, during the 90s, I chaired the relief sale in Fresno for about 10 years. I offer this story as a bit of a window into what can happen to a family when it becomes involved in something like the MCC Oregon Fall Festival. A small glimpse of God's hand at work in the wider world through Mennonite Central Committee, the encouragement of a faithful congregation like we had at Dallas Mennonite Brethren Church, and a bit of willingness to risk a small part of the future on an adventure of service in the name of Christ can change the course of one's life. And it certainly did so for us. And for us, that's a legacy of the MCC Oregon Fall Festival, whatever the name of it is now. It's still the Fall Festival to me, or perhaps just the relief sale. As I was preparing for this afternoon, I went scavenging through an old box of old stuff in my garage and found a folder that I've passed on to Jerry that has meeting minutes and plans and notes from the first sale at the Polk County Fairgrounds in Rickrail. It brought back all kinds of memories and stuff as I thumbed through it, of course. I was in construction at the time, and I had drawn a layout of the fairgrounds. I was the one responsible for facilities and setup and stuff at the first sale. And so I'd drawn this scale plan of the fairgrounds, and we plotted where we were going to put things. And as I looked at that, it brought back a lot of interesting memories. But perhaps the most interesting aspect of this folder was this sense of uncertainty that was mixed in with the sense of purpose and task that's reflected in the minutes and the notes and stuff that are in that folder. On February 13, 1984, a meeting was held at the Hi-Ho restaurant in Salem. I don't know if that's still there, but it was the Hi-Ho then. Present were Kate Brenneman, Orville and Ellen LaRue, Grace Barnick, Stan and Ruth Steffen, Bill Braun, Kathy Gehrig, Carol Schweitzer, and Marion Fisher. So you'll recognize some of those names. The last paragraph states, the MCC Oregon State Fair Witness Committee is now the Fall Festival Committee. Money from the Etc. shop will be transferred to the Fall Festival Committee. This is the very essence of certainty, of purpose, of attention to the task, the details at hand. It was time to stop selling self-help crafts at the state fair and talking about what it means to be Mennonite, And it was time to begin to raise money for MCC and begin to show people what it means to be Mennonite. I noticed on the website for the 2015 Fall Festival, the top of the list of frequently asked questions is, what is a Mennonite? So I did a little quick search of 10 other relief sale websites. And there are none that are as specific as the Oregon Fall Festival about what it means to be Mennonite. I suspect that many of the other sales are held in areas where the question isn't as germane to the event. I mean, if you can put together 20,000 Veronica, there's a pretty good chance that a lot of the people know what it means to be Mennonite. And I remember, as I was writing this, I visited the Kansas sale once, and I think there were 40 churches, 40 or more churches in that area of a short drive to the sale that support that sale. So not only are there a lot of people, there's lots of volunteers, and you can have 40,000 people at the sale, and most of them know what it means to be Mennonite. But even on the West Coast, where our congregations are more thinly dispersed, the Fall Festival is unique in its website about being upfront about what it means to be Mennonite. And I wonder if that isn't a bit of a carryover from the old State Fair witness booth where we talked about what does it mean to be Mennonite. We stood beside libertarians and death penalty opponents, and the John Birchers, and we're selling our baskets from Bangladesh and Haiti and talking about what does it mean to be a Mennonite. It's a really interesting time. Toward the goal of creating a one-day festival, the group meeting that February acted to secure funds from the Oregon State Fair witness booth, which were held by the Etc. shop. We were this very informal group that did the State Fair witness booth, and the Etc. shop facilitated the purchase of the obtaining of the self-help crafts and also kind of kept the money for us. It was determined to move forward to this one-day fair or festival as encouraged by Lynn Roth, who was the executive director of West Coast MCC at the time. At that meeting, even a potential site for the first sale had been scouted, and the people there had been contacted, and the minutes show that the cost for the rent, minutes show what it would potentially cost to rent that space, down to the fact that tables would be $1 each and chairs would be 10 cents each for rental. So this group was actually pretty organized and serious about moving forward. But it wasn't all certain. There were uncertainties involved here. The folder contains a number of kind of cautionary vignettes and lots of questions. Is the potential location identified, the Evangelical Church of North America in North Salem, is that the right place? Is it big enough? You know, are we thinking too small? Are we still thinking the State Fair witness booth, or are we thinking big enough? Can we afford it? What about the annual fundraiser at Western Mennonite School? You know, we don't want to detract from the hard work of others. We don't want to rob Peter to pay Paul. We don't want to compete for dollars from the same pockets as we search for this new way, not only to raise funds for MCC, but to also bring together the MCC constituency in a celebratory event. Will this be more than a one-time effort? You know, can we get one off the ground and that'll be it, or what, might it last longer? Can we sustain this on an annual or maybe an every two-year basis? Will enough people come to make this significant? Right? Nobody knew. Will we find enough volunteers to make this happen? Is Salem really the best place? Just because we've been doing a booth at the State Fair, does that mean that this thing has to be in Salem? If it's not Salem, where is it going to be? Where's a better place? And then another thing that I think kind of entered in maybe a little bit, maybe it's more in retrospect, I don't know. The money that we were generating from selling self-help crafts at the fair was actually increasing each year. We were selling more each year. Over the 6 years of that State Fair witness booth, more than $28,000 was raised from the sale of self-help crafts. Is it really worth making a change, or are we on a trajectory here that might be good? So from these careful and hopeful deliberations, the seeds were planted for what has become this 30-year or 31-year celebratory adventure in raising funds, which now total nearly $2.5 million from the festival and the bike rides and the Houses Against Hunger. All this for MCC and promoting an atmosphere of celebration in being the people of God here in the Willamette Valley, people who are willing to work hard and support the work, the people of God all around the world through the work of MCC in the name of Christ. Celebration has always been an essential part of the relief sale of the Fall Festival. In a way, I visited a number of other sales, and I've always been impressed how celebration is a significant piece of this in the way everybody's not always competing for the last dollar in your pocket here the way it sometimes feels at other sales. And I've appreciated that. Now I'm going to speculate a bit, and I may be way off track, and you all can tell me if I'm right or wrong here at some point. But I wonder if it hasn't changed, if the sale hasn't a bit changed the culture of being Mennonite in the Willamette Valley, maybe at least a little bit. There was a time when the gathering point for Mennonites in the Valley was the kind of this annual meeting thing we had. If I remember right, it was in the fall. We would, and again, if I remember right, it might have been at Western Mennonite, or maybe it moved around. We gathered, we sang together, we heard an inspirational message that was supposed to excite us about the work of MCC. We collected an offering for the work of MCC. And I think maybe there was also a little business session where we elected representatives to the West Coast Board of Directors. And then we went home. With the advent of the Fall Festival, being Mennonite, supporting the work of MCC, I think began to take on a more year-round kind of feeling and anticipation of the coming event at which we could all participate in a hands-on way, meet our friends, and in doing so, contribute to the work of MCC. It provided, I think, a context for a new understanding of what it means to be Mennonite people of God here in the Willamette Valley. It's hard for me to think about these things without trying to find some significant way to connect this with thoughts about God and God's direction and God's intent for us. And for me, this isn't only about the Fall Festival and the way in which it has benefited, increased the kingdom of God around the world. It's also about how our association with the Fall Festival is one of the sparks that changed our lives. And I make the assumption that it has changed other lives as well. I assume that God's hand, God's normal method of work in this world, should be visible. And so today I've identified Luke chapter 24, verses 33 to 49 as a text for brief consideration. The text picks up near the end of the story of the disciples on the Emmaus Road.
Luke chapter 24, verses 33 through 49. They got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought what they were seeing and thought that what they were seeing was a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high."
Thanks, Linda. The last chapter of Luke begins with the scene at the tomb and the women, the ones who had accompanied Jesus from Galilee. These included Mary of Magdala, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and other women. They went as those prepared to anoint the body with perfume and spices. They became those who were utterly at a loss and terrified when confronted with the absence of the body and the presence of the two men in dazzling garments. In this confused state, it was Jesus' words that brought Mary back to her senses. He called her name, Mary. Jesus knew her personally. Her equilibrium was restored so that she could return to the disciples and report what she had seen and heard. When MCC says, "in the name of Christ," MCC means this kind of personal approach to ministry. MCCers know the names of the people with whom they work, and MCCers are known by their names. Then we read the story of the disciples on the way to Emmaus. It's a very familiar story, and one again that highlights disciples walking and talking about what had been happening around them and been happening to them. I think that major lifetime events like September 11, or perhaps for my parents, Pearl Harbor, remain in our mind in our conversation for quite some time. And so with them, this was a major earth-shaking event, the crucifixion of Jesus and then the disappearance of his body. And then Jesus came up to them and walked along with them, explaining everything to them, though they were kept from recognizing him. Later, after he had explained everything to them, they did recognize him. They recalled that something about him was familiar, something within them gave them a small clue, but when he broke the bread and offered thanks, that recognition became explicit. They knew him, and he disappeared. And they, like Mary, became witnesses upon recognizing and participating in the truth, again, because of this personal connection. I was reminded in some ways of that social atmosphere at the Fall Festival, engaging old friends by name, offering words of direction, comparing opinions about food. Many are lingering, hugging, shaking hands, laughing, walking around the grounds, generally letting barriers down and sharing with each other. I expect that not many who attend the Fall Festival know the exact specifics about how money contributed becomes relationship, food, blankets, agricultural tools, breeding animals or houses, and that's okay. There's an inherent trust in the work of MCC that allows us to work hard for the overall cause, trusting others to do their part at another point in the process. In part because we have some personal relationships and we know the names of some of those involved in other parts of the process, even if it's only the very next little part of the process to the one that we're involved in. We trust that that chain of relationship continues all the way through. I think this must be something like Jesus walking and talking along the road, sharing stories and food, breaking bread together, each doing their own part, even while not knowing the whole. It turns out that Jesus had information they didn't, information they needed, and that brought them great joy when they understood it. And then we come to the text for today that Linda read. They were sharing their hopes and their fears, their memories, their personal stories, and as it turns out, even some of their misinformation. In this gathering, some were saying that the Lord had risen, that he had appeared to Peter, and then Cleopas and his friend chimed in with their account of meeting Jesus on the road. This is a post-Calvary, post-tomb, along the road, around the table, full of surprise and joy event. And it's into the midst of this noisy, somewhat confused, chattering company that Jesus himself appeared. Jesus' first words to them were words of peace. Into the midst of confusion and speculation present that day, Jesus began, as he often did, and as was characteristic of his birth and ministry, with words of peace. Remember when he sent out the disciples because the crop was heavy and the laborers were few? The words of greeting he instructed them to give were, "Peace be with you. Peace to this house." Even the familiar words of greeting, even with these familiar words of greeting, the group was startled. The form of Jesus' appearance, the suddenness of it, seems to have overwhelmed the message of his words. But then in four short acts, the rest of this short passage, Luke moves the story of Jesus toward a wonderful conclusion. In Act 1, Jesus carefully helped the group to experience the reality that he wasn't a ghost. No more unexpected words of peace. Now it was, "Look at me. Don't cringe. Don't squint your eyes in fear. Look at me. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. My hands and feet will tell you who I am." It's like a simple version or a primitive version of fingerprints. Look at your own hands for a minute. I can tell the story of my life by looking even at just my left hand. There's a mark here from the handsaw that scraped my knuckle when, as a 9-year-old, I was helping my dad add a bedroom to the house out at Polk Station on North Fervilla Road in Dallas. The scar between my thumb and forefinger is a result of when, as my boss so accurately observed, I was chiseling toward myself. An eager 20-year-old would-be carpenter working on what would become the Red Barn Restaurant in Dallas. And I don't know what the name of it is now, but the building is still there. And probably the windowsill on which I was chiseling. The ring on my finger that's been here for the past 41 years is a sign of my commitment to Joyce and a change of my life in 1973. The misshapen joint on my little finger is a result of an injury occurred while playing basketball during my days in seminary at Fresno. So, you know, look at my hands, look at my feet. I am who I say I am. Who can point to their back and say, "I worked so hard at the sale that when I got home that evening, it was a 3 Advil night." Or, "My feet were really tired at the end of the day because I walked so much at the festival." We can tell our stories by referencing our body. It's our bodies that go with us on service assignments. It's people with real bodies whom we send to Haiti and Vietnam and Honduras and Kentucky with the funds raised at the Fall Festival. It was my stuffy and wheezing lungs that empathized with friends who had black lung disease in Kentucky. It was our collective body as a family that gave us an inn while we were in Kentucky, an inn that singles didn't have, and that it seems to me that some other nonprofits working in the area didn't recognize. I'm here today to tell you that MCC works very hard to send appropriate configurations of volunteers to more than 60 countries around the world, in our case, a family into a very family-oriented culture. And if we could see now that first short video, of a video here from MCC that describes some of this.
Natural disaster, Mennonite Central Committee is helping communities rebuild. Join us in sharing God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ. In the Philippines and other places of natural disaster, Mennonite Central Committee is helping communities rebuild. We work together with people in marginalized communities around the world, responding to basic human needs and working for peace and justice. In Colombia, MCC works alongside the Mennonite Brethren Church to help farmers support their families. We act in ways which promote environmental, social, and economic sustainability. In Chad, MCC brings Muslims and Christians together to build relationships and prevent violence. We strive to build relationships that overcome cultural, political, and religious divides. MCC works in 60 countries on hundreds of projects with partner organizations and churches. Accompanying the church and partners is vital to our work. That means building trust as we unite together to achieve lasting results that make a difference. An estimated 5 million people move across borders each year. MCC continues to meet migrants' emergency needs and give people tools to rebuild their lives and work for peace at home. Migration has been part of our story from the beginning. In 1920, a group of Canadian and U.S. Mennonites chose to help their fellow Mennonites in Russia, who were facing starvation. Today, MCC welcomes newcomers through its immigration work and educational resources. MCC also promotes migration alternatives around the world and advocates for better public policy solutions. Whether at home or abroad, we are committed to sharing God's love and compassion through disaster relief, community development, and peace building in the name of Christ.
MCC sends volunteers and resources in the name of Christ. In the name of the Christ who said, "Look at my hands and my feet." And MCC can only do that because of the work that's done in events like the Oregon Fall Festival. Look at my hands and my feet. These are the hands that mixed mud to bring sight to the blind man. These are the hands that cranked the cider machine, stitched the quilts, emptied the garbage cans, sorted the recycling, and cleaned up the kitchen. These are the feet that walked the road of Galilee with you. These feet made many trips back and forth, from storage to setup to the festival day fun to tear down and back to storage. These are the hands and feet that worked so hard. I'm not a ghost. Touch me. I am who my hands and feet show me to be. I have flesh and bones. It's me, and I'm not a ghost. But even at that, within this group of people, and I'm sure we're not at all like this, deep disbelief and deep suspicion dies hard. Look at my hands and my feet. So Jesus continued in Act 2. Okay, if belief is so hard, then let's eat together. I'll do this right in front of you. If you don't trust your sense of sight and touch, do you trust your observation of me eating? Can a ghost eat real food? Not only do they not need to, they can't. So not only does the act of asking for and partaking of food remind us of Jesus' earlier methods in ministry, it's a strong sign that he is alive, that he is real, that he has a real human body, that he possesses unusual, not unnatural, abilities of which to be afraid. Food is central to all aspects of MCC's work in the world: relief, development, and peace. Food for today responds to situations of malnutrition or unusual disaster, but that isn't enough. We also need food for tomorrow. So MCC's partners teach new farming practices to improve soil quality and increase yields. And even that isn't enough if not everyone has enough food. Food for all encompasses advocacy with communities for government policies that allow everyone access to enough food. When Jesus invited those assembled to eat with him, he was offering not only a sign of new life, an act of salvation, his body given for us, but gathering them around the table to remind them that food is essential and central to our lives here on earth. In the process of doing this, Jesus demonstrated that he really was one with us. He really possessed a body. He really needed food as much as we do. Emmanuel, God with us. And he was showing us the importance of food as we relate to each other. Some of you will remember Michael Chapman, West Coast MCC staff person for relief sales and thrift shops, who now, along with his family, is in Guatemala with MCC. Linda's going to read again a little piece that Michael wrote, and there'll be a, should be a, yeah, there's a picture.
In the northern Guatemalan department of Quiche, Feliciana Herrera plants avocado trees. MCC and partner Fundamaya are helping Herrera and other Mayan Ishil youth establish themselves as small farmers, a way of gaining income and finding alternatives to migration. The youth organize their time to work together in shula, a traditional Ishil practice of working collectively on different people's land instead of each person working on his or her own land exclusively. At the end of 2014, Fundamaya held its first farming contest exclusively for Ishil youth, using factors such as the diversity and quantity of crops sown, the number of projects for soil and water conservation, and the welfare of livestock. Herrera was one of three female farmers among the five finalists.
Thank you again, Linda. This project that you see here is a project that mitigates disaster by conserving soil and water, provides for longer-term needs as food is grown and plants are cultivated, and has long-term effects of keeping the community more whole as migration is decreased. This is the kind of food for life and community to which Jesus pointed as he ate that day. This wasn't only about the physical act of eating, but also about the effect of food on the overall life of the community. The very hard work you give as part of the fall festival fulfills just such a mandate, providing food for today, tomorrow, and for all. Let's eat together. Act 3, at this point, having appeared and having tried to reassure them of his reality and his loving intent, sharing food with them, Jesus began to teach them. This was his usual pattern. And this pattern is all part of the usual sequence that lends credibility and strength to the story. Having been fed a piece of cooked fish by them, he now began to feed them everything written about him in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, and the fulfillment of these writings. Some years ago, a patriarch of the MB family, a Mennonite Brethren family, J.B. Taves, who received food during the famine from MCC, this first food that was sent to the Ukraine, he told me that before people can listen and respond, they need food. You can't just talk to them. They need food. So it is with these people. It's at this point that they begin to understand. When Mary heard her name in the garden, she began to understand. When Cleopas and his friend experienced the breaking of the bread, they began to understand. Peace be with you. Be it in words or in the form of bread is a prerequisite of understanding. As I was preparing this, I recalled an experience from my early days of riding a motorcycle. I rode to Glacier Point near Yosemite National Park with a friend many years ago. As it turns out, I was significantly underdressed. I guess it was earlier in the season than I thought it was. Nearing Glacier Point, I became cold, and not just on the surface cold, but the cold penetrated deep within to where I began to stiffen and shiver. And without the flexibility to balance the bike around corners or in wind gusts, the whole riding experience becomes rather scary. It was only with warmth that flexibility and balance was restored. It's when we're warmed by the life and the presence of Jesus, by the words of peace and the bread of peace, that we have the space and the ability to begin to imagine or reimagine life after death and the truth and fulfillment of Scripture. Balance can then be restored to the community. The result of the fall festival each year is the restoration of balance and the opportunity for new direction for communities all over the world, even in our own community as we work together to put on the festival. Your work as part of the fall festival empowers witnesses of these things to bring this restored balance and new hope all over the world. These are my words. Peace be with you. I think we have another short video at this point.
I picked you from the village, brought you here in my house, so that you can have a good life. Now you're planning to have a sugar daddy. I'll treat you so that you never forget. I am sorry.
I'm Maria Krauss. I'm from Langley, British Columbia, Canada, and I'm working as the Assistant Project Coordinator for Peace Clubs.
What's wrong with you?
My understanding of peace is that peace is about right relationships, so right relationships with your parents or your teachers, like as students, yourself, your community, the environment. And so Peace Clubs is not just spewing out jargon about this and all these theories that we like to talk about, but they're actually teaching skills and empowering students to learn how to actually create these right relationships, to learn to know what a right relationship is, what is a healthy relationship. So students are learning how to communicate with their parents about their struggles and issues they're experiencing. And through that communication and that opening up of dialogue, they're able to find solutions together.
To have peace, cause unity is power.
I was piloting curriculum, a section on violence, in November and December with two of our Peace Club leaders at Malay. And we were going through the lesson on sexual abuse. And I could see one of the teachers just shifting so uncomfortably. And he kind of hesitated for a while, and then he began to tell the story of something that had happened that weekend. And he started to tell about the situation, about a teacher and a student. The teacher was trying to abuse a student, but the student, a member of Peace Clubs, creatively got herself out of that situation, and then was able to go share with her mother about what had happened, which is not necessarily common to have that direct sharing with her parent. And then her mother to not just try to bury it, but to also say, no, this is important. I need to go to the head teacher and share this. So then the mother, the next day, to go and share that with the head teacher. And then the head teacher, who's also a Peace Club leader, for him to say, this is important. We need to look into this right away. And for all of us, action to be taken, and for the girl to say, these are my rights. I deserve to be safe and secure in school. I deserve that sense of safety. And for it to be preventative, too, that it's not just reactionary, that she wasn't abused because she was able to assert her rights and she was able to find safety.
She was able to find safety. I thought that was a really striking line at the end of that video. The result of your hard work, of the money that's sent to MCC, of the MCC work in the world, the result is she was able to find safety. The result, as in the previous stories, is a witness to the liberating peace of Christ. Mary of Magdala ran to tell the story. The Emmaus disciples returned to Jerusalem to tell the story. Students find the power to speak out for safety and security. Jesus commissioned those gathered to be witnesses to tell the story. So the story recalled from the Law and the Prophets, the story fulfilled in Jesus, is now projected to continue its fulfillment in those gathered as they are witnesses. You will be my witnesses. The story is continued by Luke in the book of Acts. Jesus commissioned those gathered to continue God's plan for salvation of the world as they had experienced it in him. That's the Oregon Fall Festival in a nutshell, the story that begins each year in Albany, continued each year to the ends of the earth. Look at my hands and my feet. Our work together isn't theoretical or simply only spiritual. We work together, body next to body, sharing joys and aches and pains, successes and failures, all for the very real people around the world. We share God's love with our whole body, with our whole being. Let's eat together. There is little celebration without food. There is even less potential to learn about the good news of new life in Christ without food. And we all know that there's no basic physical life without food, now or into the future. It's no accident that Jesus chose food to demonstrate the reality of his new life, that food is a significant metaphor in sharing of the new life in Christ as we celebrate around the world the service of the Lord's Supper, and that food is a significant ministry of MCC. Every cup of cider you drink, every spring roll you eat, do you still have spring rolls? Yes, I remember that. Every cup of cider you drink, every spring roll you eat is a measure of sharing with the larger body of Christ through the work of MCC around the world. These are my words. Peace comes as we understand and share the words and story of Jesus. It's one thing to send clothes and food and provisions for shelter. It's one thing to send agricultural tools or seeds. It's a whole nother thing to actually stand with a partner in the field and speak words of peace while planting seeds or placing shingles or resolving conflicts or applying bandages. The proceeds of the Fall Festival make it possible for MCC to send people to speak these words of peace even as resources are distributed. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses of these things when you labor diligently to provide the resources for an organization that works unashamedly in the name of Christ in 60 countries around the world. There is one final slide. Your witness through the Fall Festival provides something like the report that's on this page. If you go to the MCC website and find this page, you'll find this report. And the Fall Festival helps provide this every year. This is the year 2014. 220,010 people benefited from emergency food assistance. 769,062 pounds of MCC canned meat was provided to 11 countries. 38,837 people received tools, seeds, or other agricultural resources. 14,443 households were connected to an improved water source. 41,911 students participated in MCC-supported education programs. 3,944 young people took part in peace clubs, like the one we saw. 6,858 people gained skills in conflict transformation and peace building. Every year. The four acts of Jesus are present each year as you prepare for and carry out the activities of the Fall Festival. And they are present all the rest of the year as the funds you generate empower the work of MCC around the world. May the words of Jesus bring peace and joy to you here today, you who over the years have taken the risk each year to host the Fall Festival so that the witness of new life in Christ becomes a reality for thousands of people around the world. As the original committee moved through various fears of a new adventure, taking the risk to expand the work of the kingdom of God, may you continue to find the blessings of the word of peace and the joy of extending that same peace to others. Amen. We went and visited the site, the church. We looked around. We looked at issues of parking. We looked at issues of location, facilities available, what it was going to cost. And we all of a sudden came to the realization that this was going to be very complicated and it wasn't really a big enough venue. We were thinking too small. And so then what's an option? And I happened to have grown up across the road from the Polk County Fairgrounds. And so we kind of default to things that we're familiar with. And so I went and talked to the people at the fairgrounds and found out that it was, at that point, still a fairly informally run organization. I mean, you had to get on the calendar and all that. But the bar that we had to meet in terms of insurance and all that kind of stuff wasn't real high, and they were pretty friendly and willing to let us kind of make use of the facility in a way that would function well for us. Lots of parking, fairly easy access, probably a little short on the kitchen facilities if I remember right. That might have been a bit of a struggle, but anyway, so it was kind of a practical It was a practical response to the realization that maybe we were thinking too small in the beginning.
Jerry is going to be responsible for taking up an offering at this point. And while that's happening, I'd like to say just a few words about the slideshow that you're soon going to see. I was really glad to see Kathy Passmore walk in this afternoon, because it's all because of her that I ended up taking pictures of a lot of fall festivals. Oh, okay, you're waiting for people to get their money out. Anyway, back in the mid-90s, I'm guessing, I can't put an exact date or time to this, but Kathy had a conversation with me, and for some reason or other, she was supposed to take pictures at the fall festival and had some other commitment or something that came up and couldn't do it, so she asked me if I would do it. Well, I've been doing it ever since. And those early years before electronic stuff, it was slides. And for the life of me, I cannot remember where all those slides went. I don't have any at home, but I'm guessing that I gave them to somebody connected with the fall festival. So hopefully sometime down the road, those will turn up somewhere. But I have 12 years worth of pictures that I've taken. There's 3,452 of them that I went through to put together a slideshow. And if you've ever tried to pick out pictures of yours that you want to show people, it's really hard not to show them all. And I didn't figure you wanted to see 3,000 pictures today. So what you're about to see is a compilation. As I went through all 3,000 of those pictures, I tried to think about what the fall festival, the MCC sale, whatever name you used for it, means to people. And it's food. When you think of the fall festival, you think of food. Booney and Chan make 2,000 egg rolls every year. It's the auction. People come for the auction. I see a lot of community people at the auction that I know. It's the quilts. And as I went through putting the slides together, I discovered I didn't have enough quilts in the pictures. So the end of the slideshow is nothing but quilts. And again, it was hard to pick. It's seeing friends and family. We go to the sale to see those people that we haven't seen for a year or more. It's contributing to a worthy cause. And it's innovation. Every year, it's interesting to see what the sale folks have come up with that's new, that we haven't seen before. Or it's in a different location, or whatever. To me, the MCC sale is people. That's what I go to it for. And I love my job. I mean, I thank Kathy every year, because I don't have to work. I just walk around and I talk to people that I haven't seen for a long time, and I don't have to be anywhere at any particular time. I don't have to move on. If I want to spend 30 minutes talking with somebody, I do it, and I still get pictures. So the slideshow represents all of those things. So as you see the pictures, you will see all of those things represented. You probably will see yourself. And I don't know whether I've scared people away because I've told people that they're in the slideshow and they're not here today, so I don't know. But it's people. It's the volunteers that provide the product. It's the volunteers that work every year at the sale. And it's the hundreds of folks that attend the sale. So enjoy. It's 17 minutes of nothing but pictures.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not.
Soul unclean, oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb.
white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I've been so close to sending you away, but just like you promised, you came there to stay. I just had to pray, and Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I struggle to remind you that for those tears I died. Your goodness so great I can't understand, and dear Lord, I know that all this was planned. I know you're here now and always will be. Your love moves my chains, and in you I'm free. But Jesus, why me? And Jesus said, come to the water, stand by my side. I know you are thirsty, you won't be denied. I felt every teardrop when in darkness you cried, and I struggled to remind you that for those tears I died. Jesus, I give you my heart and my soul. I know now without God I never be whole. Savior, you opened all the bright doors, and I thank you and praise you from earth's humble shore.
In Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
Oh, how sweet trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath thy healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him
more. We're getting close to 4 o'clock, and I'm mindful of the time. We have one more item on our program today, and I'm just wondering how we can facilitate this in the quickest way. We have some people here today that I have asked to do a little bit of reflecting on their experience. Of the directors of Fall Festival from the beginning, I have been in conversation with some of them. Kate Brenneman was really helpful in giving me some ideas at the beginning. She lives now in Kelowna, Iowa. And let's see if I can get them right now. Ellen LaRue, Judy Stutzman, who was here. She was followed by Marge Barkman, who was here also, and Faye Clausen. And then who, Ron? Jerry Friesen, and you. So I asked them to share something, and I think I'm going to cut this short by doing something. Sorry about this, contestants, but I'm going to ask you a question. Marge said she didn't like the questions I was asking before.
And then I went ahead and answered.
And then she answered them. Now I'm going to ask them to tell each one a couple of stories, and included in the panel group also is Larry. Larry Passmore. Larry, when did you start?
The second year.
The second, already at Rick Rio.
Controversy, what year that was.
Oh, okay. So you've been with Fall Festival essentially every year since 1984 or 85.
That's correct.
Wow. Okay, so.
And if I had realized that I could have asked Don Bacher to do my job and he'd be thanking me every year, I should have. It was a missed opportunity.
Okay, Larry, I'll ask you the question. What was probably the most memorable experience that you've had in 30 years of Fall Festival?
A short one is I was walking past the food room, and we had just served lunch. It was full of people. All the stoves, hot plates, griddles, everything was going, and I was walking with an electrician. And as we walked by, the building, I heard this shorting sound, and we looked up on the side of the building, and there were sparks shooting out of the main wires coming into the building, and there were so many sparks they burned off and swung free, and all the light.